Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Inspire Your Life podcast with me, your host, Aarti Ravikrishnan. I believe we find inspiration all around us, especially from the stories that we all have in us. My aim with the Inspire Your Life podcast is to bring some of those real stories to light, stories of my guests that resonate with you and me. It's by listening to these stories that we can be inspired and motivate ourselves to overcome, find a new path, and rise even higher than we thought possible. Joining me on the show today is Nobantu Mputulo, my Tashatin family member, yay, from South Africa. She is an extremely humble, patient, and thoughtful person, and this is so evident in the quality of the coaching she provides in the space of Ubuntu coaching, everyone, where she coaches leaders and teams to, you know, quite simply put, be better humans that lead with heart and backbone. Isn't that beautiful, everyone? Nobantu is an ICF MCC level coach, though. I mean, she's got tons of experience, having trained over 100 coaches globally with her Ubuntu coach training program. She has been able to humanize leadership through developing Ubuntu-centered leadership programs, as well as Ubuntu coaching. Her Ubuntu coach training program is something that she incorporates using also Buddhist principles, along with all of her other training and expertise in areas of mindfulness, NLP, Gestalt, even Enneagram, everyone. And this just augments what she's able to bring into the Ubuntu coaching philosophy. So one of the beautiful things, Nobantu, and I'm so glad you shared this with me, is you've got this beautiful Ubuntu coaching mantra, which is see more, hear more, love more, illuminate more, be more, and do less. That is superb. Sabona Mama Nobantu, it's such an honor to have you on the Inspire Your Life podcast today. I'm so grateful you're here. Welcome.
Come on, fellow Titi sister. How are you?
I am doing great. It's so wonderful that we're able to catch up in this way, and I'm so looking forward to you sharing such beautiful and inspirational stories with us today.
Thank you. I'm honored. I feel very honored to be part of this conversation.
Oh, I'm so glad. I really, really am. Now, you know, your work is so inspiring. It's so important. And I've just given everyone a very high level introduction about you. Mama, we want to know more about you, about your background, anything about your hobbies. What would you like to share with us that is about the real and true Nobantu?
I think where I'd like to start actually is my upbringing, which was based on principles of Ubuntu.
Uh-huh.
I was brought up by my mother's sister, who took me in when I was a month old. Okay. So that my mother could continue working. So I grew up with two moms, just budget that. And I found that, you know, the spirit of Ubuntu was really embedded in me.
Mm-hmm.
When I was growing up, I was the protector of those who were bullied.
Mm.
I would just stand up against the bullies. Not that I knew even how to fight, by the way.
Right. But you just did.
Yeah,
wonderful.
And when I understood my Enneagram style that's aligned to type 8 of the Enneagram, then it made all the sense.
Okay.
And in terms of hobbies, I am a thrill seeker.
Oh, like me, I love that.
I love myself. For instance, I'm afraid of heights.
Uh-huh.
And I did something that was just out of this world. To help me to overcome that fear, I did bungee jumping.
Look at you. Well done.
I've done firewalk.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Yes. Right now, when I was in Ghana, I did canopy walking on a wobbly bridge. Yes.
Which is so long.
Oh, my gosh. And then I did kayaking, and I don't know how to swim. That might be a little bit, you know.
Right.
Yes. Wow.
So I love daring. Yeah. Quite daring. Oh, man. I have to applaud you. Those are amazing. Oh, man, that's beautiful. I love how it sounds like you just keep pushing those boundaries, even though you know that there's some of those inherent fears and certain things that you don't know, but you're still going out there and you're taking it head on with a bit of curiosity and seeing where it lands you. I think that's beautiful.
Exactly, exactly. I like the mentioning of the word curiosity. Yeah. I always say curiosity skilled the cat.
Ah.
Contrary to what we were brought up with, that curiosity killed the cat.
I like that.
Curiosity, but to get skilled and get to know what we don't know.
Absolutely, absolutely. I can't agree more with you on that. Oh, thank you. Thank you for sharing that with us. So, Nobanta, I mean, the concept of Ubuntu and the spirit of Ubuntu, I mean, it's very natural for a lot of, you know, a lot of us in the African region. And I mean, we've got different words to call it. In South Africa, it's known as Ubuntu. In other parts of Africa, similarly termed. But I guess maybe for the benefit of our listeners who are global, help us understand what is leadership through this concept of Ubuntu? And what is that as a concept?
With Ubuntu, if I can just say it first in my language,
yes,
this means Ubuntu Ubuntu Ngabantu. I am human because of the humanity of others.
Mm-hmm.
That means I cannot be fooling me if others are not fully themselves. And it's about this interconnectedness. Mm-hmm. It's about me seeing myself in others. And if I'm thinking about leadership,
yes,
then you find a leader who is not just concerned about the results, about the outcomes,
yes,
but a leader who looks at the well-being of the people they are leading and also who recognizes and acknowledges the goodness in the people he or she is leading, mm-hmm, and who comes from the heart and brings about the goodwill for the individuals, for the team, and the goodwill of the whole. So in essence, this is a way of moving from the I to the we.
Mm.
It's about this collective and the recognition that we are able to achieve more as a collective than as individuals.
Yes. Okay. That sense of togetherness, as you're saying, that collective. I mean, it's just making me feel so warm and fuzzy at the moment, because I'm somebody who's also, you know, very keen to ensure that, you know, when you want to go far, you kind of go together, actually. You don't go
together. Oh, yes. That's my African proverb I use.
Yes.
And for me, Ati, it's beyond togetherness.
Yes, yes.
Because togetherness, we can be together in a room.
Yes.
This, for me, it's about interconnectedness. And one of the Buddhist monks referred to this as interbeingness.
Wow.
And if I think about this, I even think about how we can learn from nature, mm-hmm, as far as interconnectedness is concerned. When you think about the mushroom and you think about the mycelia, the roots of the mushroom underground, they go on and connect with the roots of other trees, and they share the nutrients, water, and whatever is necessary with other plants. Mm-hmm. So this is something that happens at the nature kind of level. And so it's something that as human beings, when we do take it up as we are with others, mm-hmm, magic happens.
Mm. I agree. And I mean, I love the analogy of, you know, from a tree perspective, because you're so right. I mean, there's that beautiful sort of, as you're saying, that interbeingness, that interconnectivity, and yet everyone is still thriving through that cooperation in a way as well.
Mm.
Lovely, lovely. So, I mean, today we're talking about, you know, humanizing leadership through Ubuntu. Maybe share with us, you know, how maybe it's your opinion or what you've kind of noticed on the ground with leaders that you've been working on globally. How are we doing in terms of leadership in an African context and even in a global context? Where are we currently at?
You know, I would say there is a lot of fear from leadership, which is amazing. Yeah. And this fear translates, in my opinion, in how leaders, through the fear of not getting or achieving the targets, the results, the tendency is to lose humanity. And when this fear happens, you'd find that the amygdala in the brain gets hijacked and the leader would be yelling, sending, telling, because they are not recognizing the fear that's driving them. And so as I get this fear, I have power over the people I work with. And so what for me is important, because with Ubuntu leadership, if you think about the African ways of being, it's about fully being in the body, fully inhabiting the body. It's about not abandoning the body.
Okay.
Through dance, through singing, through, you know, just stepping and all of that, that helps us to get within the body.
Right.
And for instance, when we get hijacked like that with the amygdala, all that cortisol, the adrenaline,
yes,
it travels in the body. Yes. And then through this being in the body, through somatic, through movement, then we're able to dispel all that is not needed in terms of the cortisol, in terms of the adrenaline rush. And then that calms us, and then it relaxes us and says there is no danger, there is no tiger that is there to get you out. So this connection to the body, it deregulates the central nervous system. It opens the heart. And then as I'm coming now with my fear, all of a sudden I take this pause and feel what's happening in my body. Actually, I'm feeling my heart has contracted right now. Can I breathe into that? And as I was about to yell at somebody who might not have done what they were supposed to do, then as I'm breathing in, as I'm filling my heart with the needed oxygen, I start to relax. And I start getting in touch with my limbic system, which is the emotional brain. And through that, that's the connection. If you look at that, it's just that right there. That's where the connection starts, this connection with my body. And when I connect well with my body, then that allows me to connect with the other and see their heart too. And I start to see with the eyes of the heart.
I like how you've taken us through this process of, you know, self-awareness from a body intelligence, but also from a mental and emotional level intelligence as well. Because you're quite right. I mean, when you do develop that level of understanding of yourself, you can actually then, you know, as you said, almost untrigger or stabilize that fear that you were feeling initially and be able to calm yourself down. But now, you know, a lot of people, a lot of leaders even, are not at that level of self-awareness, or they're still in that process. What are some of these steps that we would need to take to actually become that level, and move towards that level of self-awareness, of that body intelligence, of that mental intelligence, emotional intelligence?
And here's the thing that gives hope, Ati, is that unlike intelligence quotient, this can be developed with practice.
Right. Yes.
It's you know what I like, and I'm working a lot with big banks in South Africa, and they've started to introduce mindfulness.
Yes.
If you understand.
Yes.
You know, taking those small steps of introducing initiative like those without bringing the spiritual lingo. What if I, leaders are scared of these things you're bringing to me, meditation.
Yes.
to bring into me mindfulness, and it has become such a fad, by the way. So I never mention those things. As I, for instance, am coaching leaders, I stay with recognizing what is the nonverbal state they are exhibiting.
Okay.
So I become aware of those changes in the body, because the body is the truth teller. And then what then I do is to share just-in-time observation. I'm noticing a frown on your forehead as you're saying this.
Mm-hmm.
And no attachment to that. And not to put it like you're judging the person, or is it something wrong? I'm curious to know what's that about. And all of a sudden, the person starts to think, what I was thinking. And then they stop. And as they stop, they breathe. They increase the oxygen supply to the brain. And that recognition that when I do that, then I start to relax and there's regulation. Not mentioning we're doing now mindfulness, but just breathe deeply. I'm noticing that as you are speaking, you're speaking very fast. I'm noticing your heartbeat is kind of fast and erratic. What's happening now? One can assist you to slow down. And also what you want to do rather than imposing practices, because as we are working with these leaders, we are not in a laboratory.
But yes,
you have to find out what works for you when you are in that state.
Well, I mean, it's live, it's real, you know, they're in the workplace most of the time as well.
Exactly.
And I love that you're saying that, obviously, from a coaching perspective, that is a direct way to actually enable them through your sort of, as you're saying, almost that like curiosity about just wanting to know, because you're noticing things evident from that body perspective, that they start to actually, you know, become more mindful and think about, okay, what was I thinking there? And obviously, this habit will hopefully be created even when someone like you is not in front of them, you know, that they're in a situation.
Exactly, because they've tasted, you know, the
big
group of that.
Exactly.
Mm.
Exactly. Mm. Okay. Now, I mean, it's great that we're talking about at that individual level. So we can undo some of these, let's put it, unproductive habits in a way, and reinstate more productive, self-aware type of habits. That's great at the individual level. But, you know, as with many organizations, I mean, there's ecosystems within organizations. Mm-hmm. There's cultures and subcultures that dominate. And a lot of them, I must say, quite bluntly, they don't foster the spirit and the principles of Ubuntu. And you even mentioned that earlier as well, you know, that leaders have, you know, maybe stakeholders and all these other demands that don't necessarily allow them to actually build that human connection. So it's making me think about then, how does someone who's doing this individual work become more resilient and resistant to the impact that the culture of an organization may have? And how do they over time try to change that? What are your thoughts on it?
I would say, as I really am a proponent of self-awareness. That self-awareness, what are my triggers? And as I'm feeling this kind of disconnection with the organizational culture, what is the deep kind of psyche in me is this touching? For instance, if you're thinking about it, we come from a history of segregation, a history of domination in South Africa. And cultures in most organizations are not geared towards that nurturing and understanding the diversity. So for me, it's like, how do I continually do my work? How do I do inner work to help me not to be stuck in what happened? How do I practice here and now practices? Okay, that happened. That's the history. It informs what happened to me. And then I do a lot of the dialogical work where people have got to look at what is it that is their old story. What are they holding on to in this old story that is not helping them in their transformative journey? And then to work with the people, groups, individuals, to create a transformative story. What is the story of transformation that I am trying to create? And I find here appreciative in inquiry helps a lot. Appreciative dialogue circles work a lot. For instance, if I even look at my past, as painful as it is, what sort of resilience, what sort of positive qualities, what sort of things that have actually made me stronger and helped me to be here. So rather than looking at this past that is dark and grim, can I be able to look at something that was working there that I could take and use? And as we develop that positive approach without being inauthentic, we able to even impact on our neural pathways in the brain. When now we start to change this brain that clamps up because I'm suffering and I will suffer until then. But this brain now that starts to develop hope and the neural pathways, they connect and my creativity comes into the fore and I'm able to get in touch fully with my potential.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Beautiful. And I love how you talked about the appreciative sort of conversations, the dialogue circles, that transformative nature of storytelling, because that really does move the dial. So some really, really good ways to actually, you know, push against the grain within the organization, but in such a open and holistic and well-being way, you know, not in a offensive or even defensive way, but just so open. I love that. I love the way you've positioned it.
And just to add maybe there, Archie, this also depends on the organization. Is there psychological safety? So if you think about the Google research on psychological safety, that's number one that makes people to be authentically who they are, to be transparent, to be open, to be vulnerable.
Yes, yes.
If this environment is not promoting that, then I will just go into my shell and then we always have things below the surface.
Yes.
And we just deal with the tip of the iceberg.
Right. And there's actually like it's almost 2 to 3 times beyond that when you actually dig deeper than the surface. Yeah, that's true. Thanks for pointing that out for us as well. You know, you were speaking a little bit about, you know, your own journey, you know, in terms of the lessons and you know, the suffering and the trauma and finding the goodness within that. And I just want to check in with you, Nubanti, in terms of your own personal journey. And given, you know, the culture, the heritage, the background, everything that you've experienced, what are some of the key lessons that you actually pick out as part of your learning moving into Ubuntu coaching?
I think for me, this goes back to the socialization that happens at home. At home, as young as 5,
yes,
we were brought up with love, with a caring family, storytelling, and yet capacitated to be resilient. And also the important thing for me, it's about knowing who you are, that identity that you get from the family. I remember when I went to study my master's in the UK, that was in 1989. First thing, I come here and you have to go and register within 10 days. Okay. In the end, registration.
Oh, wow. That's what it was called, alien registration.
Alien registration. Wow. And even though there was that, you know, it made me to stand up tall and said, I am not an alien. I come from Africa where actually the human being started. That's where humanity started. Maybe the others who are now referring to us as aliens, it really was. I was shocked, actually.
Yes, I can imagine. Yeah, very
So for me, it's
that identity is important.
Identity that builds resilience, and there is a loving way. Don't lose your humanity. whatever is happening, treating others with dignity, treating others with respect, and listening to people's stories, because the narrative way of being in the African tradition is what has helped us to be who we are and to show up the way we are, resilient, and be able to transcend across whatever difficulty.
Yeah. I mean, we embrace that and move forward with those. Okay. So, I mean, as I said, you're doing phenomenal work in terms of Ubuntu coaching, in terms of that humanity around leadership and pushing that forward. What else are you working on currently and for the rest of 2023? And what are some of your hopes and goals for the rest of the year, Nabantu?
What's exciting for me, I've been working with one big bank in South Africa.
Uh-huh.
And they have started to train their HR staff in Ubuntu coaching. They are looking into training leaders as coaches with the Ubuntu approach. And what's important, last year I piloted a program with them for women leaders in balancing the feminine and the masculine energies.
Okay.
That is being rolled out. So next month, I'm starting another cohort.
Wow.
I'll be having two cohorts this year on that. So it's so exciting.
Yes.
It corporates really embracing Ubuntu.
Yes.
Really recognizing the feminine energy and also encouraging the women leaders to get in touch with their masculine energy as well.
Right.
And embracing on the start.
Oh, well, I mean, it sounds extraordinary and much needed, to be honest. And wishing you success with those.
Yes, yes. I'm excited. I'm all smiles as I'm talking about
this. Oh, beautiful. I love that. I really, really love that. Okay, I mean, we're coming to the end of this really, really beautiful and eye-opening conversation about, you know, humanizing leadership. Well, what would be your final piece of advice, Nabantu, for, you know, those of us who we're in the process, we're evolving, we're finding ourselves, we're trying to deepen our self-awareness, and also at the same time, build our sense of community and purpose? What could you say to us?
You know, I loved yesterday when I was doing a live coaching demo on Ubuntu coaching. One of the participants asked me, how do people open up to this Ubuntu leadership and Ubuntu coaching? I said, as long as you have a heart,
yes,
that is Ubuntu.
Right.
The fact that you can connect to the heart and come from the heart. And for me, what's important is how can we consciously all the time practice the Ubuntu mantra, see more, hear more, love more, illuminate more, mm-hmm. be more, and do less. And just to apply my favorite quote, which I do all the time,
mm-hmm.
by Viktor Frankl, that says, between stimulus and response, there is a space. In that space is our power to choose our response.
Yeah.
In our response lies our growth and our freedom.
Beautiful. Beautiful and powerful words of wisdom, words of advice, especially the one about the heart. I love that. And then this beautiful, beautiful quote to actually end of our conversation today. Mama Nabantu, it's been an absolute pleasure talking with you. I could talk with you for hours, actually. You have such a beautiful way to explain and encapsulate this entire process and journey that we should all be following. I thank you so much for your time, and it's been wonderful talking with you.
Thank you, dearest Ati. Thanks a lot.
Take care. We'll chat again soon.
Nkosi, as we say in Malawi.
Indeed, Nkosi. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for joining me on this episode today. If you like what you heard, rate the episode and podcast, and feel free to write a review. Plus, of course, share with others too. I love talking around topics like these. So if you like my perspective or insight on a subject close to your heart, or something that you're grappling with, reach out to me in your comments or send me an email via my website or connect with me via LinkedIn, Instagram, or Facebook. All my social media are on the podcast information. If it's important to you, then it's important to me. So happy listening to the Inspire Your Life podcast, and catch you soon on the next episode. Bye.